の彼方に光る星、青い地球は。
There are individuals that can have their minds hacked instantly, all day, every day, by, I apologize, I hope this is not new information, by aliens. My apologies.
Okay. Okay.
There are many individuals who can be abducted approximately 10 minutes every 10 minutes.
I see.
And their thoughts may not be theirs.
Right.
And the reason the aliens do this is because they need us to piggyback on our energy. That's because we are so powerful to creating this reality. And the more you use mind energy, the more they have the ability to come into you as prey. And that's why the churches are so successful, because you pray and you bring in outside entities.
I see.
My apologies if I offended anybody. But
no, I don't think you have.
But we will observe our thoughts and wonder if they are ours or they came from somewhere else.
Sure.
I hope that helps.
We're getting a lot of questions in. Let me address some of the questions here.
Okay.
First off, let me look here. This is Michelle in Chicago. She says, how can we best deflect the darkness? How can we, if people are dealing with negative influences in their lives, how do we deflect those negative influences? And how can we be safe from any attacks, I guess? Yeah.
Thank you for that lovely question from that lovely individual. The answer is already known. We've said it 100 times today, I believe. And that is...
Let's say it 101.
You live with your rudder angle indicator, and that is to go within. There is nothing more you need to do except follow your highest excitement, your highest joy, your highest passion. And don't let the mind control your life. Let your rudder angle indicator be your highest joy, your highest expression. That feeling you get when you ride that bike down that hill for the first time, that joy, that great joy you have, is all you have to do.
Okay. Great. All right. We have another question. She or he writes, we're not here to bring the light of heaven to earth, but to bring the light of earth to heaven. They also write, I can't find anyone either with the virus, and I know people, not one COVID case. Anybody I know have it?
I would agree with that individual completely.
Okay.
Again, there is a virus, but it sure is popular.
Well, I know from my little home area of Olympia, Washington, a small county here of about 200,000 people, there was one 80-year-old man who allegedly died of the virus in March, but it turns out he actually died of a heart attack, and the hospital listed him as a COVID death because then they got $39,000 from the U.S. government, Medicaid. And yet everything shut down. And I don't understand it myself, but that's just me. I don't understand it. I just don't understand it.
Yes. Again, if we start from the beginning of this show, bacteria has been on this planet a very, very long time, and there will be many, many viruses. And we are outstanding practitioners of healing. We love to heal. And that's all you have to observe is the body is designed to heal instantly, and so is the light to help you.
As we shift into the fifth dimension, now this is something interesting that Simon Park said on my show last week. Simon will be on, I believe, next Saturday, a week from today, for those of you who like to watch Simon. He's a wonderful man. But anyway, for those, Simon said that this is one of the very rare times in the universe's history where this planet is going to shift from third right into fifth with a very brief stop in the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension usually is time, and it can take, I mean, you can go, usually planets, he said, go from third to fourth density and stay there maybe hundreds of thousands of years before they're able to evolve into the fifth. We're jumping fourth and going right into the fifth.
And your question?
Your comments on that. Are you feeling that now? Is that why there's so much intense interest in planet Earth, and why so many alien civilizations are watching the planet now?
I don't believe I could ever disagree with anything that individual has ever said. That is a perfect individual in my eyes, and so brave and so noble to the cause for helping others. healing others. I might change the words, but it semantics really, and I would call them frequencies. And so the choices that we make are getting easier and faster for us to what you call a dimension, I might call a frequency. Mm-hmm. And it's easier for us to live in that state of being, which is really the evolution and or ascension process. Mm-hmm. So yes, I would agree with that, because we're learning so much about that lower level, what might be called the fourth, that we're just going to skip on through. Mm-hmm. But I would call it a frequency, because I see there is variables within each dimension, layers and layers and layers within a dimension, based on our choices each and every day.
I see. Interesting. Julie Calley is a wonderful psychic. I consider her one of the best psychics in America. And she was on my show a couple of months ago. And she was telling me, she's funny, and she said, Ted, I talked to my guides, and you have 932 different timelines for tomorrow, depending upon your choices.
Yes.
Because I was asking her, you know, just we were having a fun conversation about what should I be doing tomorrow. And she said, Ted, well, you have 932 choices. Which one are you going to take?
Yes. And so you had a question earlier from a caller. I did not mean to belittle the ease in which you can remove the dark, but it is that easy. Yet what we experience is we see other people absorbing these timelines, and then they interact with us. Mm-hmm. So we all have all of these timelines, and some of them are being manipulated by dark forces through their mind. And or think of a situation in your life where a dark person is someone you care about intermittently, and or isn't consistent with working with their rudder angle indicator. This is exactly what I believe you're explaining. Mm-hmm. You could get on this timeline. You could make that choice, or you could make another choice. Mm-hmm. It's really about living in a high expression of yourself, highest joy, and that will get narrower, those timelines, and would be the best way I think I could explain it.
I see. Okay.
Without thinking.
All right. With this ascension, has time speeded up? Time seems to have speeded up this year, and things that I thought were going to happen have actually happened very rapidly, much faster than I thought.
Yes. So there are some tools manipulating us here. We would look at that big white thing above our heads called the moon.
Okay.
But certainly there is a great opportunity now for us to, what we use the word manifest, our reality, what we would really prefer. This is an area of the universe, the dimension you'd like to call, the frequency, in which our choices can dictate the outcome each and every second. We are very, very free to express ourselves and create the outcomes we prefer. What we don't prefer seems to be what we prefer here. Like money, like bills, like that newspaper boy. We can prefer other outcomes instantly, more and more now, to your point, because of where we are in this dimension.
Interesting. About 5 years ago, I was contacted first by Professor Albert Einstein, followed by Leonardo da Vinci, then Robert F. Kennedy, then John F. Kennedy, then Mahatma Gandhi, then Benjamin Franklin, then Nikolai Tesla, then Dwight D. Eisenhower, and other great spirits, who all said, this was at a time when people were talking about a possible nuclear war with North Korea. And they all said that we had a very bright and beautiful future ahead of us, and they wanted to get their messages out. So I started writing this book with their messages, called Messages from the Masters. And if anybody would like a copy, it's just $20, includes a free reading with that. If you're interested, just send me an email to outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com. But at any rate, they all said that the nature of humanity is to be loving, kind, benevolent, and service to others, and not to be service to self, and not to be warlike and fighting. And so they've said that we are right at the precipice of ascension right now. This is the turning point. And we have to, I think it's good for us to keep that all in mind. Do you agree with that assessment?
At the risk of being redundant.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
The one opportunity we have mm-hmm. to that point mm-hmm. is everything we'd like to state to another being, what if we formed it in a question?
Okay. All right.
Why are you a ding-dong pet, as an example?
Why am I?
Okay. Okay. And then right. you would ask me a question back. Why do you think I'm a ding-dong? Don't you think you're ding-dong because your tie is too wide?
Well, I don't know. I used some scissors this morning and I tried to cut it.
It's a silly explanation,
yeah, okay,
but to your point, if we would all help support
right.
the need for understanding each other,
right, right,
then that would be a great tool for what you just explained.
Okay.
And that is being of service to others continuously, not necessarily the tact and scope and tasking
right.
of your day-to-day life, although right. that's very valuable. Imagine
sure.
if everybody
sure.
just supported each other one, each and every person in their highest expression of themselves with unconditional love.
I see.
What if we just supported everyone's choices continuously,
right.
inquired, queried,
mm-hmm.
how do you get support each and every day?
Sure, right, exactly. Well, that's...
How can I support you, Ted?
Well, just send me lots of love and light, and that's the greatest gift you can do, actually.
Okay, can you get me some more coffee then?
Sure, it'll be $9.95.
It doesn't sound very loving.
No, well, I'm just trying to be accommodating, politically correct, and then there's tax and
yep.
service charges
and now
a
you
weekend
see the,
charge.
Now you see the fabric of our society is we have an opportunity to just say, of course.
Sure.
Of course.
Right. We've got an interesting question in from Cheryl, and I'll read it. Thank you, Cheryl, for your nice comments. Question, how do you contact the Pleiadians or other beings of light? I've asked for many years. I happen to have Admiral Halosaurus's telephone number here, and I'll give it to you off air later. He doesn't want to get a lot of an email. No, he's here now. When you contact the Pleiadians, take your right hand if you're right-handed or left hand if you're left-handed and put it over your heart. Whereas on this planet, we shake hands. Shake hands is from 11th century England, where the knights would drop their swords so that they could shake hands. If you shook hands, then you wouldn't be a backstabber with your sword going into the other guy's back. So we shake hands now so that, you know, of course, we haven't, I don't know, I haven't used any swords in this time. I may have maybe 800, 900, maybe 1,000 years ago. But you put your hand over your heart, and you bow your head slightly, and you send lots of love and light. If you're down at Mount Shasta and you're near one of the portals to the Hollow Earth and Telos, you put both hands over your heart, bow your head. They're actually a Pleiadian civilization originally that came to planet Earth in Lemuria. Now they're at Mount Shasta. But Q, do you contact the Pleiadians, and how do you do it? Do you have a phone
you
number?
Thank you for that question, Ted.
Okay.
I do see some confusion regarding some of these races, and so I try to only use light and dark as an explanation. And certainly there is a civilization in the Pleiades, and it's very vast. The relationship that my team recognizes is from Arcturus, and we need the Pleiades help and or many individuals in the Pleiades to teach us about this culture on Earth, because mm-hmm. they were much, much involved in some of the genetics here, and they evolved much like we are evolving. So they did a great job of teaching us and partnering with us. One of the partnerships was to inherit a vessel, this body that I'm in,
mm-hmm.
is a portion of their genetic manipulation, we might say, discovery, agreement, the evolution of this genetics does have some Pleiades in it, not to say that I am Pleiades. It is an agreement, if you will. And it specifically, my area genetically came from Scandinavia. And so you will find some of those genetics in that region.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find that the Pleiades have a resource in helping us get through this wave of DNA, we would say, because the DNA is the culprit. And so contacting the expression of the Pleiades is all the time because of many of their genetics here. Not to say there isn't other genetics, there is many here.
I see. All right. I know that there's a lot of entities here from the Andromeda Galaxy. They have actually a blue sun, and so their skin color, they're human, but their skin color varies from light blue to dark blue, and they're a fascinating civilization, all very, very benevolent. They've been in contact with Alex Collier, a wonderful ET contactee and a friend of mine for many years. And there's also people here from Sirius B. There's a star system there. That's where it's an aquatic planet where dolphins and whales come from, Sirius B. There's Sirius A, but Sirius B is allied with the Galactic Alliance. There are entities here from Arcturus, which is a six-dimensional civilization. They're humans, but they're wonderful healers. We've got entities from all over the universe here, coming to Earth for this experience. Many people, I've been told, Q won't ascend, but they're just here to observe, to see how we ascend, and then they go. Then they plan to go back to their home planets after this is all done.
Well, part of the transition process that we will observe is each and every life, you do have a choice to leave, and there are some individuals who've done a good job of making sure we don't leave. We have the choice to go anywhere we want in the universes. Each and every lifetime. And so I would ask people to do their homework, study, because you live forever and you don't have to be on Earth your entire existence. Mm-hmm. Do your homework, go within, and you'll find that you can go to many, many different places in the universe, just like I am right now.
My friend Simon Parks has said that when we pass over, typically there's a light that comes to us. And when you go through that light, it's actually a trap for a karmic trap for people to stay here. He has advised for people to simply ask to go to the Supreme Being, go back to Source after you pass over. Your thoughts on that? Just curious.
I would agree with that. Although I would add, envision it.
Okay.
Ask is fine.
Okay.
Command it, envision it. All the things that that individual said, I am in full agreement with.
Okay.
Envision. That is the strong tool you have in your light being.
I see. Okay. So we can envision the kind of.
You are going to demand it. You will take nothing more than what you desire.
I see.
That's all you want.
If you don't mind me asking this question, I know you probably don't have much preparation for this, but what about the Anunnaki? I was told by my star friends earlier that they came to this planet and engineered us humans to mine gold for them. That's what Michael Tellinger talks about from South Africa.
So Ted, one of my qualms with all of these shows is we're talking about the past. The past is over with. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about, in my opinion, solving these issues, solving what we might think are issues, experiencing our true self. I believe that topic is too granular for me, although I can get the information. I think a good individual would be probably Stuart Swerdlow or Simon Parks.
Okay.
They have a better understanding, in my opinion, mm-hmm. although I can get the information. My mm-hmm. suggestion to solve that problem that I believe is correct in what you said, mm-hmm. and that is to live at your highest excitement, your highest joy, your highest compassion, love, unconditionally.
Okay, great. Well, I hope you don't mind me holding over you for a few more minutes. I'd like, Doug or Don, I'd like love to have you play that video now. It's from Mount Shasta. That was taken last week. And it's of a spacecraft coming over our campsite. And where you, it has huge picture windows. And you can actually see, you can actually see right inside the spacecraft.
Do you have two dogs?
They would be in good hands because she's a vet tech.
Oh, awesome.
She's a vet. She walks with dogs every day.
Yeah, it's the best part is about at about 6 minutes in, but you're going to see it here. It's a copy of a copy, so it's a copy of a video.
Can I see it after? I
don't want to get it. Yeah, the flow shot is not good.
Anyway, you'll soon see this UFO split. Now you can see it splitting already. I'm sorry it's not the best copy, but you'll soon see it here. It'll split into two.
Uh-huh.
And then there's another several that join it from beneath, and you'll see that in a minute here. But there's a lot of ETs flying around Mount Shasta all the time. When we were there, Admiral Halosaurus' mothership was there. That was half organic and half metal. Have you been up on the Pleiadian ships before?
Very, very briefly, but yes.
Okay. Have you been on Admiral Halosaurus' ship?
No, but I am aware of his vessel.
Okay. All right. Okay. I was told it was half organic and half metal. The organic part, is it? I was under the impression that it is alive.
Yes, so I'll speak to our vessel. It is a light vessel. It has consciousness to move throughout the universes, and theirs is a subset of the same design. It has a portion of it that can move interdimensionally and multidimensionally, but not as expansive as our vessel.
I see. Okay. In 1976, I was told that the Pleiadians... Okay, now you can see this UFO, the light beam, actually, it's splitting into different balls of light, and if you look carefully on the screen, you can actually see four orbs. You're going to see more of this in a minute. The best part is about it's 6 minutes in. But anyway, Q, I've been told by my Pleiadian friends back in the mid '70s, the Pleiadians were able to access interdimensional travel. And they had new spacecraft back then, that was some decades ago, that could go interdimensionally into other dimensions and also into other universes. Do you know much about that history?
Well, the Pleiades is a very vast area.
Okay.
But you can assume that the bulk of the Pleiades individuals live in a higher frequency and or a different frequency.
Okay.
And so, yes, you're correct. They can come through to lower frequencies because they do have that technology.
I see. Okay. All right. Okay. Excellent. On the screen now, we're getting the one light now has gone into 5 different balls of light. Are they able to shift themselves? Do you think this is an organic? I know you can't see it, but is this an organic craft, what you're picking up?
Yeah, 1 more hour. Let's go 1 more hour.
So the ability to transfer dimensions is a technology around the consciousness of that vessel.
Okay.
So, yes, they can change the frequency. You can even, if you want to look at it a little more simple, you just look at the Star Trek, Legacy Star Trek shows, and you can see although limited in an explanation, you can see how people would transfer their bodies down to a planet, as an example. That's basically what those vessels are able to do, is just change their frequency, change their wavelength. And there is some limitation, but certainly they can come and go however they want to hear.
They told me that they now have 2 million ships around the planet. And many of those are drones, but they're here to help for several reasons. They're here to help us when necessary with the ascension, but they have to ask for it first because it's a free will planet.
I'm here to assist and support however you'd like.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And that's why we're here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's why you're here.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're already here.
Thank you. This is the actual video here, and you can see the orb flying around now. Now, in a few minutes' time, there we go. There's a series of orbs beneath it that are red, that are also splitting into different ships. Is it possible for an organic vessel to split into different orbs or different vessels as well?
So there are many ways to share the light. There are several technologies, so consciousness can jump around however it desires, however it wants to express itself. And there are limitations depending on the frequency and dimension you're in, but certainly I'm living example that we transfer my light into this vessel. Well, they can do the same thing, and they can use all sorts of vessels to do it. You can use a human being, you can use a geometric detection device. There's many ways to do it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good. Good. Now, in just a minute, we will be getting to a part in the video where we'll be looking inside the actual spacecraft. Here we go. I know you can't see it. There it is. It's going to happen in just about a minute. There it is. There's the spacecraft. You can see inside the spacecraft there. There are entities walking around it. These are huge picture windows. It was just amazing to see that, and I'm so glad that my friend did take that to take this video. When do you think, Q, there will be full disclosure of extraterrestrials here on the planet? I know it's probably, some say it's already happening, but it's not happening through official government circles.
Don't hold your breath.
Don't hold your breath, huh? Okay.
It hasn't already happened.
Okay.
I'm on the air right now.
That's true. What a silly question to ask.
Why don't you look in the mirror? We'll be disclosed.
Yeah, we'll be disclosed. Absolutely.
Yep, there you go.
Wow, this is amazing. Now we're seeing these. This is what we actually saw. Now these other spacecraft has split into two and three, and then we saw another craft going beneath it, going ricocheting across the sky. The one UFO we're seeing in this screen now, it goes into one object and then splits again into several different objects. I'm told that, oops, there's another one that just appeared below it. Oh man, it was an amazing evening. I'm told that next month when I go to Mount Shasta, August 27th through September 3rd, that, there will be a lot more demonstrations of this kind of event of UFOs flying around. So this is just the start. Tell us a little bit about, could you tell us a little bit about the mantis civilization? I don't know too much about them. I know they're insectoid. What do you know about them?
Well, I would prefer that we talk about the light or the dark.
Okay, that's
so fine. Because there are so many races.
Sure.
But certainly that's a very evolved race in my understanding and my experience.
Uh-huh.
The best person to ask that question would probably be Simon Parks.
Sure. Okay.
But certainly that is a race, in my opinion, that is rooting for us unbelievably.
Okay, wonderful. Well, let's talk about the light. I don't like to dwell on the dark, frankly. Okay, good. I'm so glad. Thank you so much, Doug and Don, for playing that. You guys always do fantastic work. I really appreciate it. Tell us about a little bit more about the light. Roughly, from what your experience, Q, roughly what percentage, if you can boil it down to percentages of extraterrestrial races in this universe, are positive versus negative, or neutral? How would you break it down?
In this universe or this solar system or this galaxy?
Let's break it to first this solar system and then go beyond that, roughly.
The better way I would think of asking that question or explaining that question would be, mm-hmm. at the risk of being flipped, the light does not know the dark.
Okay.
But the dark knows the light.
I see.
Mimics it and controls it.
So
as a percentage, it would be difficult to put a number to it, as it's not linear, it's variable continuously, especially at the lower frequencies. So the dark, mm-hmm. The dark is everywhere on this planet, we would say, although we have a choice to remove it each and every day with each and every choice we make, and it will go away. It can't survive at higher frequencies because those are choices that we make. So it's difficult to put a percentage on because the dark lives at a lower frequency because their choices are not of a high frequency, if you will.
I see. Okay.
So when we look at the higher levels of the universes, dimensions, frequencies, if you will, There is no such thing as dark because it's impossible to exist there. So those are, the vastness of these dimensions is unexplainable.
Okay.
Pick one dimension and you cannot explain the vastness of it.
All right. Okay.
The frequencies.
All right.
So if you had to ask me, what is the percentage of dark? It's hardly anything. But at the lower frequencies, it's everywhere.
Does that make sense? Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Is that answer true as well for this galaxy, Milky Way galaxy, and this universe as well?
The dark loves this place.
Oh, really?
Loves this place.
Really?
You can't tell?
Well, yeah, I can tell. There's so much of it.
Just vote one day.
Just vote one day.
You'll see dark.
If you can. Yeah. If you can vote.
Well, it's so scary.
If they'll let you vote.
It's very scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I hope people are onto this, and the masks obviously don't do any good, and so I understand your pun. I understand your sarcasm, but obviously you are a giant pathogen, and the masks are not going to help you. Forgive me if I'm offending anybody.
Right. No, that's okay. That's all right. Well, the other question I want to ask is, I've been told by the by many spirits on the other side in the galactics too, that of all the planets in this universe, this planet Earth is the hardest one to affect any positive change.
Yes. One thing I wanted to accomplish today to help this world to be a better place is there's another light being just like me. And I wondered if you could mention her name on the show today.
Okay.
If you want help with relationships day in and day out, this person may be even better than I at transitioning your lifestyle and your choices.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's real simple. If you come to me with a question about how do I make my life better, I say, well, choose what you prefer. But that individual is so mean to me, so don't prefer it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the counseling session's over.
Mm.
But if you would mention this person's name, Lucia Nicola Evans,
that's fine.
This person is an expert and a very, very fulfilled light being.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look Lucia Nicola Evans up,
mm-hmm.
she will support you. She will help you. She will give you unbelievable, unbelievable compassion, joy, unconditional love.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's always nice to get. Yeah. That's always lovely to get.
So I always want to, I always observe all these relationships we mingle with.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be some of the timelines we don't prefer that we keep participating in, and we do not have to.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. I wanted to ask you too, your parents, are they from this planet or are they from somewhere else?
Well, one day I think we'll bring a photo and show. I was going to do it today. I didn't know what your agenda was today, but
mm-hmm.
we will maybe one day we'll show a photo of the genetic heritage I came from, and you will see possibly the difference from other genetics on this planet. So I am aging just like everybody else.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I am a human being per se.
Mm-hmm.
But the partnership that we targeted was one in which could express more light in it, and the DNA didn't affect it. So there are many beings that have a lot more DNA that may not express more light. It's a very broad question, and I'm not, topic, but we would mm-hmm. say that the light beings that I was born into helped support this conversation today and having the knowledge that I have.
I see. That's wonderful.
But certainly I will bring a photo one day or give it to you so people can see the difference, because many attuned people that listen to you can see and understand how it works once you see these legacy photos.
Right. One of the things I want to talk about now briefly is time travel, because I've gotten some questions on it.
Mm.
Now, I teach time travel myself, how people to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you time travel yourself?
Every single second of every single day.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm told that when you go into the fifth dimension, we're in the third here, but you go in the fifth dimension, everything is happening all at once. So you can see things into the past, present, or future.
So I would add, and I'm in agreement, time is not what we would explain as linear, as continuous. Mm-hmm. So time travel would be more for us, our imagination, our belief through imagination. And I would not limit time travel to a dimension. I would I would say it is a desire. As an example, we might, here's an example of time travel. And I know you've done extensive work on this. And I will always try to make things simple, simple, simple.
Okay.
Let's close our eyes and let's enjoy that beautiful beach in Waikiki.
All right.
Let's look at all the beautiful people. There's people surfing. There are hotels. That's beautiful beach. It's 80 degrees out, 81. Mm-hmm. You're lying on your towel. You're enjoying that warm weather. Mm-hmm. Well, you're actually there. Hmm. That is time travel.
Okay.
Just envisioning it.
That's amazing.
It is that simple. Although you can make it more complicated and more granular and more intrinsic if you'd like, but that's essentially time travel.
Amazing. Amazing. I think what I'd like to do now is take a quick break and I'll explain people how I time travel. And then Q will come back on in just a few minutes. Anyway, what I do is I create two double copies of myself in the astral plane. So first off, you visualize, you meditate, and then you visualize having two copies of yourself sitting just outside of you. And then you take one of those copies and you go, you can do this for fun. You can take one of those copies and you go back in time to a very pleasant experience. It could be time with your parents, maybe as a boy or a girl. It could be with a friend. It could be enjoying a beach that Q mentioned in Hawaii. It could be really anywhere that's pleasant for you, because it's most fun when you go back in time to a pleasant experience. And then you take that double copy of yourself and you go back to the back to that time, and you can interact with yourself. You can interact if you're with your parents or a family friend. You can interact and enjoy that. Experience that time again, re-experience that. And then when you're all done, you can even talk to yourself during that time too. And then when you're all done, you bring that double copy of yourself back to yourself, back to where you are now. And then you merge both with the two copies together, and then bring them back and integrate them into yourself. You can use this technique to go any point in the past, any point in the present, or any point in the future. The only thing is if you go into the past, you have to be careful not to change too much in the past, because if you do, then you could alter things so that you won't exist. And you don't want to do that, because then you'll be really in a void. You always, when you make this double copy of yourself, if you don't merge the two together, then you can end up floating around for possibly eternity, and get yourself really in a heck of a jam. So anyway, that's one of the things I do teach. And one of the things too that happens when you go into the future by time travel, because this is still a free will planet, and we can make choices. We have choices all the time regarding what to do every day. Even if, for example, you go, let's say, a year into the future, and you visualized yourself winning the lottery, it may not happen because of other people's choices and your own choices, which may affect that. Real quick, before I forget, this is a copy of my book I wrote with the help of Albert Einstein, President Kennedy, Nostradamus, and many great spirits, called Messages from the Masters, Messages from all these great spirits. And if you'd like, just $20 includes a free reading. Just email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. It's not so much my book, it's their book and their messages for the future. Is that what do you think about future time travel? Is in your perspective on that, is that true? Things can be changed in the future. It's harder to travel into the future in time because of people's choices can change the outcome of certain things.
Yes, and I think I would say, from our point of view, we are participating here for that question exclusively.
Okay.
Making this world a better place.
Okay.
Making our realities a better area to be. The light is taking back its space, for sure.
Okay. And you said, one thing interesting you said to me before, Q, is that many people don't have their light fully in them. What does that mean?
Yes, again, it is difficult to explain this with this language. It's okay. It's a touchy subject, I know, because we have this ego mind. We believe in our identity. Mm-hmm. But I assure you, you're a light being with unbelievable expansive expression, unbelievable capabilities. And this version of humans, you spoke of a race that may have been the culprit of manipulation, mm-hmm. which I'm in agreement with. Mm-hmm. This version of humans is designed to be manipulated each and every moment of each and every day, mm-hmm. I assure you, mm-hmm. as I have visibility to being a different human. Mm-hmm. I assure you, this is without arrogance and without ego. I assure you that this version of humans was designed to be completely manipulated throughout its legacy. Yet, do not despair. We have the opportunity to bring more light into us each and every day with our choices exclusively.
Okay. All right. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, appreciate that. What do you think life will be like 100 years from now on the planet? Will be a fifth dimensional civilization?
What we will experience is many, many, many things. Mm-hmm. And I will feel the information people would like to know the most, because that's a very, very broad question and it would take hours and hours and hours.
Okay.
But let's just assume we'll target a few items that would create some inspiration for others. Mm-hmm. One thing that will happen is we will lose a lot of our borders, not all of them, but some of them.
I see.
We will be more free in our travel around the world. Okay. We will also lose our arbitrary means of exchange. Mm-hmm. We will change the way in which we participate in this arbitrary value of our jobs, mm-hmm. and our purpose will change in supporting each and everybody in synchronicity and their wildest expression of themselves. Mm-hmm. Your choices will be appreciated by more and more people. That's the biggest change that will happen.
Okay.
Everyone will support your choices, even if it's running around naked with that blue tie. And that's what he wants to do.
I'm not going to do that. Believe me.
I've got a nice shirt on.
And...
Okay. No, The other item that I would want people to know is, mm-hmm. our ability for free energy is very, very close. We will use the electromagnetic frequency of this planet to propel many, many machines, and we will lose the need for many, many machines as well. The way in which we grow food and crops will become very, very simple, because we will also partner with the planet to help us do so. And you're already seeing some of that already. As an example, people are using peat moss with the energy of manure, and sand all comes from the earth, and or that generates more energy when you grow. Maybe you have an example of that with your garden.
Oh, I think, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely,
right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's exciting to see the fruition of it already beginning from our point of view. Mm-hmm. But certainly 100 years from now is utopia, in my opinion.
Really? Wonderful.
We will compared to now, yes, I would uh-huh. I would think so. And 2025 to 2030, 33 right in there is a huge transition time, if that's what I feel you are wanting me to explain.
Yes.
And what we will understand as our governmenting is not going to occur any longer.
Interesting.
Our relationship with interstellar and or what you like to call galactic, mm-hmm. individuals will increase, because our capacity to work with them in a more balanced way, in a more logical way, will become a reality. And we will have many, many relationships outside of this solar system and within this universe.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Here's a serious question from a listener.
And I'm living proof.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's a serious question from a listener right now. They're wondering the future of Happy Meals from McDonald's. Will they survive the shift, or there'll be more of them?
I think they'll be called tofu meals.
Tofu meals.
No, I don't know. That
brings in the whole issue of meat, too. Mm-hmm. That one of the things that Nostradamus said, and Adamus said to me recently, was that we will cut down on our consumption of meat, and eventually do a plant-based. We'll have other things to eat, but it won't be meat. Will not be a factor anymore.
Yes. Again, I think I mentioned on the other shows, if we really observe epigenetics and how it works, we're eating, when we eat meat, we eat the life of that being, and that being has DNA. The DNA is a pet peeve of mine here, as you may have already caught on to, because mm-hmm. it records the history of every generation, of every minute of the past. So, mm-hmm. We look at karma. That's where karma comes from, is from our DNA. DNA, it might as well be a record. Mm-hmm. And it records every single generation that's ever occurred in your genetic lineage. So we worry about shell shock from grandpa mm-hmm. because he was in World War II, if you will, World War I, whatever you'd mm-hmm. like. Mm-hmm. Well, you actually get that shell shock in your genetics. And when you study epigenetics, it comes very clear to you. As an example, mm-hmm. the firstborn of a chicken is the one that gets all the disease. The second one doesn't. So if you're the firstborn and you're getting a lot of disease, you'll realize that you got the bulk of it from your ancestry race, and the next sibling did not. So when we eat an animal, that's essentially what we're doing. We're eating the history of that genetic lineage. So it's very difficult to get pure food here for that reason. Not endorsing or saying you can't eat meat. I'm just suggesting that one of the ways we can clear our DNA is by going within. So if we could get animals to do that, it would be real easy to get that epigenetic serial memory off of them. But obviously, it's difficult to communicate with. That's why you see maybe some races of people, maybe the Jewish, they've always put blessings on their meals and mm-hmm. so forth. And
sure.
So that's why I am a big advocate of doing your inner work. There's many ways to do it. I'm suggesting one way, and that is to go within with your highest excitement, your highest joy, and command your spirit to clean out all of that genetic history that you are carrying with you thousands and thousands of years ago.
I have to ask you this, and this is one question I've been interested in before. What about plants? What makes them different from animals in terms of consuming them?
Great question. The geometry is the key. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The geometric growth of a plant creates that balance and creates that synergy energy from the earth, and now you receive it as it grows. You can be very geometric in yourself as you ground yourself with the electromagnetic frequencies of this planet. Mm-hmm. Plants grow right from it, so of course that geometric synergy is what creates that energy when you eat the plant, if you will, and plus it's alive when you eat it and you can communicate with it. And it's predominantly water. So just like your teachings with the Emoto Peace Project, your intentions create an easier transfer of energy.
Interesting. This is one question that just came to me. There are 12 different dimensions for those who are not familiar with the different dimensions. We exist in the third, we're shifting to the fourth, and quickly into the fifth. How long will we stay in the fifth before we shift into the sixth?
As you grow within this universe and or frequency or mm-hmm. dimensions, if you like, mm-hmm. your choices will become much easier. Huh. And it will become much easier to go to and fro, if you will.
Right.
So by the time you're in the sixth dimension, it'll be much easier for you to transfer from higher to lower levels because of your knowledge band will increase. Mm-hmm. Your body will be less... more transient, if you will, when you transfer yourself, if you will. You have the choice to leave here with your body, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. You can use your body forever if you'd like. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the travesties of this planet, is we keep recycling these bodies. And our bodies are very, very tired. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm suggesting to go with it. We're laggards, and we have an opportunity now to bring in more of our life and heal ourselves.
Another question about, we've got about 5 minutes left, but another question, are there other human civilizations within this solar system?
There are other humans in this solar system, yes. You say civilization.
Okay, well, other humans. Okay, let me choose my English words carefully then.
Aren't we all a civilization?
We are a one civilization, that's true, that's true, that's true. I've heard that there are even people living on the sun, but you can't see them. And I guess that raises another question. Is the sun a planet or is it a hologram?
So the sun, I would consider it a highway and or a conduit. Mm-hmm. I consider it a conduit.
Okay.
It helps create life, and you can transfer yourself through to and from it, and you can reside in it if you'd like.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Are there humans who live on Mercury?
Mercury. There have been individuals there. Not sure if they still are.
Okay.
Maybe outside of my bailiwick.
Okay. Okay. I've heard that Venus, that there are people living on Venus, but they live in the fifth dimension.
There's some interesting individuals there that I do not want to talk about on Venus.
But okay.
Certainly, if you look into the Russian history books,
right.
They may be able to document that a little better.
Right. Okay. I know the Russians sent probes to Venus many years ago, and I think they know a lot about what's going on and really haven't disclosed it. How about out in Neptune and Uranus and Saturn? I heard the fishing's good out there. And no, they have big oceans, so there's all kinds of interesting creatures. Are there humans living out there?
You asked about Neptune.
Right. Okay. Neptune. Yeah, sure.
Of course.
Okay. All right.
Continuously, no.
I see. Okay. Is real estate cheap on Neptune? I mean, would you recommend it as a good real estate
buy? Yes.
It's a little hard to get to.
Well, but we're the only ding-dongs that use money on this planet. So. genetics is a big deal in many of these races, in my experience. So,
I see.
That is a form of money.
I see. All right. Have you been to the Andromeda Galaxy?
Yes. Not exclusively. Bernardo is one of the planets that's close. Again, that's in a different frequency, and I have been to Bernardo several times.
Okay, what's the coffee like there? Do they have coffee? Or...
yeah, I think you're on the right track. If you talk to Alex Collier, you'd have more knowledge than I would about.
Yeah, that. Alex is a great guy. Yeah. Great guy. Have you been to the Dalton universe, which is the next universe over?
I'm aware of it. I have not spent any time there.
Okay.
What we focus on is transferring from frequencies that need the most help.
I see.
I consider that a fairly advanced area.
All right, good. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left, and I want to thank everyone so much for listening today. I really appreciate all your love and support. Q, please, I want to tell everybody quickly before I forget, I do give readings to people. You're welcome to contact me for a reading. If you get my book, which is $20, you can get a free reading with that, or you can just contact me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. Anyway, we've got a couple minutes left, and please, I'd love to have you wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Well, Ted, it is such an honor and a joy to communicate with you and everybody that listens to your show. It is a great honor, a great privilege to take phone calls and interact, experience, co-create, learn, become more aware each and every day. And I thank you for this transmission. I love co-creating with you all. My blessings, unconditional love to you all.
My producer just gave me several more minutes, so the Pleiadians must have shifted the timelines. So we've got about 4 minutes left.
So well, I guess you can read the sports.
No. Yeah, that's true. Tell us briefly now that the Pleiadians are called the Seven Sisters, and I know because they have seven different suns within their civilization or constellation, if you will. Are there many planets around each star within those seven sisters? because we have like, I don't know, 8 or 9 different planets in this third dimension within our central sun, but are there different planets around the Pleiades constellation?
I would expand that by 10. It's a very, very, very robust area.
Okay.
Very, very grand. It is enormous area.
Okay. Are they on the planets where they live, is it like Earth, but in a higher dimension?
Some planets are very much like Earth, and there is a water world there that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And you can assume that that's one of the reasons why we're here, is because we're very similar in their genetic makeup and their belief systems.
Okay.
And where they came from.
Okay. How long do people live there?
You have a choice, depending on which frequencies you're in. You may live as long as you'd like.
Really?
There are limitations in some vessels, some types, but the higher frequency beings, they can live as long as they want,
uh-huh,
experience and learn however they'd like,
uh-huh,
and move on. It's much freer when you leave those planets. You get instant choice. You'd like to go XYZ, you can.
Really?
There's not the hindrance, the shield that's around this planet, although this shield is breaking down. They don't have shields around their planet.
I see. Can someone from the, we got a couple minutes left, but can someone from the Pleiades choose to live a life here on Earth?
Absolutely.
I see. Okay.
Absolutely.
I see.
So you're naming a race of being, and I would change it to say, can a light being choose to come to this lower frequency on planet Earth?
That makes sense.
So I wouldn't put a title on a soul,
sure,
although we may have a title because our originating planet.
I see. Interesting. Interesting. We've got a couple minutes left. One last question. Can a light being sometimes reincarnate to a negatively oriented planet to see what it's, to experience that and then come back to the light?
All your choices are unlimited.
I see.
Unlimited,
okay,
choices.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Can a dark being do the same? Can a dark being reincarnate in a light being planet?
The caveat is a light being will never be dark.
I see. Okay. I see.
So no and yes.
Okay, no and yes. All right. Okay. Well, we've got 2 minutes left, and any advice for people on how to make this planet a better place would be gratefully appreciated.
Again, I encourage everybody to go within and use their highest excitement, their highest joy. Forgive the redundancy. That's all there is. That's why it's so easy. It's difficult. As you say, use your highest excitement, use synchronicity, and share with us how it works. We want to get feedback. And anything you can do to make it faster, we'd like to hear about that too.
Okay. Should they practice what the Dalai Lama calls compassion and forgiveness with others?
Why not?
Why not? Okay. Well, that sounds good. That sounds good. Well, I want to thank you so much, Q, for coming on today. You've given us, graciously given us all this time and all this beautiful advice for all of humanity. And I want to thank you so much for your light work here on planet Earth. Thank you so much. And I want to thank everyone as well for listening today. I hope you've enjoyed my program today. I'll be back again in a week's time. And I hope you all have a really out of this world experience. My program is listener supported. And if you'd like to donate, please go to the website at https://outofthisworldradio.com/bbsradio.com/outofthisworldradio, or you can go to my website at outofthisworld1150.com and suggested donations of $5 a month or $50 for the year, and your support is really appreciated. With that, I hope everyone has a beautiful and happy weekend, and again, thank you so much for listening today. Bye-bye. We'll be back in a week's time. Bye-bye, everyone. Hope you have a beautiful weekend. Bye-bye. Thank you, Q.
Hikari